Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is a Monday. We're a day late, but it's March 11th. We're a week away from spring football getting kicked off. Richie, how's your week been so far?
Been pretty good. You know, I still have Facebook, but only really care about the memories, but it was a nice memory that popped up. Florida State won their first ACC championship in basketball this day 12 years ago. That was kind of cool to see, especially after the past few seasons we've had, but pretty good, man. How about you?
Pretty good. Yeah, no complaints. We've done kind of the tour of FSU Olympic sports this weekend with the kids. So that's been fun. Saw softball and beach volleyball, and we're going to the baseball game tomorrow to see if we can end the streak against UF.
Where are they playing tomorrow?
Yeah, they're in Gainesville.
Okay.
So you mentioned that basketball game. I was in the Staples Center watching that in the concourse. We went out there for spring break, which, so happy spring break to everybody whose kids are off of school this week, including myself. But we went out to watch the Celtics Lakers game, which the Lakers actually won by I think two or three. But I watched that game out in the concourse while the, like, when it got down to the final minutes, because I would cared more about that than the first quarter of the Lakers game. So happier times for sure.
I was at a bar in Charleston with a ton of North Carolina fans and my college girlfriend at the time, and she was not happy because I was going back and forth. But it was cool after the game. One of the North Carolina guys came up and shook my hand. He said, "Hey, congratulations," and nothing else to say at this point. So cool memory. Happy for him. Nice win over the weekend against Miami, but we'll talk about that probably towards the end of the show because people probably aren't tuning in right now to hear us talk about Florida State basketball.
Listen, I think the people are always down to hear hate on Miami, no matter what sport you're in. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their locations, 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe, and then 2870 on Appalachie Parkway. Make sure that you get your Gut Box Double Fries No Slaw. That one over there on Appalachie is I think it's like a to-go only. So you can't eat there at store, but you can pick up, you can drive through, you can do catering if you need to. Their catering prices are good, by the way. We obviously do all of our events, they're at the tailgates and stuff that we do, but their prices aren't bad on catering stuff if you need a large amount of chicken. So hit up my folks over at Guthrie's and let them get you taken care of. So, Richie, tour of duty, winter workouts ended. It all culminates in what they call a squat party. We'll start with that today. I want to talk a little bit about the article that came out about the pursuit that Alabama had of Norvell. We'll talk about a couple other things. We'll get out of here. Audio only for this. So you folks that are actually subscribed on the audio platforms, shout out to you guys. This isn't on video anywhere. If you would do us a favor, though, go subscribe to the YouTube, youtube.com/@DoubleFriesNoSlaw. Richie, it all kind of culminates in what they call a squat party where everybody tries to get their max, tries to get their absolute highest possible weight on the squats. And it's really kind of fun to watch, like Bartow's tweeting it out. They're all putting it on Instagram stories. It's really kind of a neat like camaraderie thing to end winter workouts that you kind of see going down on social media.
Yeah, I love the videos because the team, it's a competition, right? And what elite athlete doesn't love competition, but they're there for each other too. It's just really cool to watch the players hyping each other up and getting ready to do their squats and max out at whatever it may be. Saw some really big numbers. I don't know if we'll get into details of all of them because you probably don't want to be bored with that. But to your point, the camaraderie is definitely a big thing. And, as someone who stays far away from the gym, I have nothing but respect for those guys and what they're doing out there with the squats. It's nice seeing the newcomers come in and how they're gelling and meshing with the players that are returning. Just seeing all the coaches out there and Coach Storms, he's kind of had himself a really nice combine, that he can take some credit for. And it sells. When the high school recruit is watching some of these videos, they're going to say, man, I know what Florida State players did at the combine. They look like they're having a blast out there because from what I understand, people that do go to the gym on a regular basis, leg day is not exactly their favorite day.
Yeah. The way they can make it kind of exciting and entertaining and fun. Again, it's also probably there's excitement in the fact that it is the last day, but there's like a camaraderie. There's a, hey, I'm going to beat that guy's max, or I'm going to get my max or whatever. You know, like, I don't know what their rewards are, if it's just like self-gratitude or whatever, but I think there's a, there is, I will say this, you know, and I think the staff has done a good job of this. There is like a reward in the work, and there's such a focus on the work that I, you know, it's not all just like, okay, well, it's national championship or bust, right? Like it's, if you're not holding up the trophy at the end of January, then it doesn't matter. I do really think that Norvell has installed a culture that they do appreciate the little wins along the way, the little work along the way, the big work along the way. Sorry, I didn't mean to call that little, but like just the strides that they see themselves making in the offseason. And there does seem to be like some pride in that, not just, you know, the idea of like, oh, okay, well, we'll get excited at the end of the year. I mean, there seems to be pride in doing the little things right. And I think that's a testament to the culture that he's built.
Yeah, I think when you can make competition fun, and when you're leading a team like that, that's huge. You know, I try and find things in my job. I lead a team of 90 employees, and we have friendly competition to the point where they get happy for each other when someone else is doing well. And that's kind of what we're seeing with Coach Norvell and what he's done. To your point, TJ, I think he's done a great job instilling in the players that, listen, everything we do for a reason. It's all part of the process. It's part of what led to 13-0, because when you go out there and give it your all at the squat party in tour of duty, you know, he's comparing that to, hey, you're in the fourth quarter against Clemson, or you're going to overtime against Clemson. You know, just getting that mindset that everything we do is for a reason. And Norvell loves to say, how we do anything is how we do everything. And you really do see that. It's a lot of coaches have different sayings, you know, scared money don't make money. Silly nonsense like that. But what Norvell says, it truly does translate into, you know, the team and the product we see on the field in the falls and Saturdays.
Which is evident and is obvious, right? Like they, you know, Norvell's stayed so consistent, which I'm sure is hard to do. Like, I feel like it's hard to be consistent just in the little, you know, the little things that I do here and there, in, you know, regular everyday life. But he's done a good job of kind of preaching the same message from day one until now. You know, it's not changed up. You mentioned scare money, don't make money. I've seen different coaches around the state. I've seen their message change up and their process change up. And, I saw an interview with, you know, him. I saw an interview with Napier that was just like, well, you know, now it's year three, so we finally got the right processes in place, and we're finally, you know, like in a good spot to be moving forward in the right direction. And I'm just like, you're just now getting your processes. So anyway, I think that, you know, every coach does certain things well, and I think that Norvell and his staff have done a really good job of kind of preaching that from day one and being pretty consistent. So anyway. All that said, let's talk a little bit about this story that Norvell may have been pretty close. Seems like Alabama really wanted him. I did a video on this specifically, so I want to get your thoughts on it. Him maybe taking the Alabama job. An article came out from Chris Lowe this week. You know, I won't have to break all that down just because I'm sure people know. But your thoughts around all of that.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, and I think it showed he might have been a lot closer to being Alabama's next coach than we initially thought. You know, Alabama's AD said that he had very in-depth conversations with both Kalen DeBoer, who was eventually hired, and Mike Norvell. And I thought it was interesting when Chris Lowe asked him, said, basically, did you have a pecking order? And he refused to answer the question. And to me, if Kalen DeBoer is your clear-cut number one choice, you say that because you want to pump up your new head coach and give him that spotlight. It sounded like Norvell was probably option one. I'm sure, you know, Dan Lanning was probably considered, but he shut things down almost immediately, and it really was down. And this is coming directly from Alabama's AD. It was either going to be Mike Norvell or Kalen DeBoer. And Norvell, I think if he really wanted that job, he would be the head coach at Alabama right now. I think he's appreciates what he's built at Florida State, going 3-6 to 5-7 to 10-3 to 13-0. And he thinks he can win here. And I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is Norvell truly believes Florida State's out of the ACC. And I think that's clear as day at this point, because if Florida State wasn't certain, or if Norvell had any doubt that Florida State was going to be stuck in the ACC long term, I think he would have taken the job at Alabama. I think he would have really pushed for it. I think he would have had Sexton saying whatever he had to say to Alabama to get out of the ACC. So I do think I'm reading too much into it there, but Norvell's a very smart and calculated coach, and he understands that the financial gap between the Power Two and everybody else is going to be almost impossible to overcome. So I think Mike Lawford, President McCollum, probably gave him some assurances that, listen, that lawsuit isn't just for show. We're on our way out. But yeah, and it's pretty cool that Alabama, replacing the greatest college coach who has ever done it, had Mike Norvell on the very, very short list. And that should make Florida State fans feel really happy about the guy they have in the Moore Center right now.
Yeah, there's this idea of like, oh, well, you know, Florida, and I'm guilty of this too. Like, I'm pretty good at pushing some buttons and needles and stuff and trying to, you know, argue semantics. But, you know, yeah, there's an idea out, you know, of Florida State fans very much feeling like, well, if you connect the dots that aren't being said in that article, they asked the AD who he called first, and he wasn't willing to comment on that. And so if you're not willing to comment on it, then the answer is no. It's kind of like asking your wife one of those questions, or her asking one of those questions where you can't answer, but by not answering, you're giving the wrong answer. So I think that if it would have been DeBoer, I think you just say it because that's the guy you hired. Hey, he was the guy we really wanted. We had some other conversations, but we got the guy we wanted. In fact, I don't know why you wouldn't just say that anyway, even if that wasn't the truth. Like, you know, who's going to know? Is Norvell going to come out tomorrow and be like, he called me first? You know, but well, yeah, I would have said that anyway. But just the fact that he didn't probably does allude to the fact that, but it, I mean, all of that said, does it really, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, don't, you know, I don't want to give away all the juice here, all the secrets, but it doesn't matter, right? Like, Norvell was kind of one of the guys being considered, whether he was one or two or whatever. Like, it was him or DeBoer, and that's kind of the direction that Alabama wanted to go. That's where they wanted to kind of invest in the future in. Yeah, I think I think going to the SEC or the Big Ten soon is a big deal for Norvell. I think that if he didn't have that confidence, you know, he doesn't, you know, kind of do he doesn't come, you know, he doesn't come back. I think that, you know, I don't really buy into the whole, like, you know, coaches are scared to follow a legend thing. I don't buy into that as much because I think these guys are, you know, I don't want to say egotistical, but I think they're very prideful in their abilities, and they're very confident in their abilities. And it's why, you know, UF hires a new coach every 3 years. Guys think they can fix the problem. And not that Alabama's a problem right now, but guys think they can take over and do a really good job, whether they're taking over for a legend or trying to rebuild something or whatever. But I do buy into the fact that Norvell is really proud of what he's built in Tallahassee. And I think that, you know, he preaches all of those little things, and nobody would have blamed him if he took a job at freaking Alabama. Like, come on, like that, absolutely, right? And so, but he preaches all those little things like work and this, that, and the other. And to just kind of leave that behind and not kind of see it out or finish it out, or get to the mountaintop, or, you know, a little closer to the mountaintop or whatever, it, you know, would have been a little bit like, it's kind of a gut punch, right? Like, it kind of goes against a lot of the things that you've been saying. And so I do think that, you know, that played a role. You know, how big of a role, I don't know. But I do think that he is really proud of what he's done and wants, you know, wants to kind of finish it out. You've seen Norvell invest, you know, like, not only, you know, his time and effort, and, you know, every coach does that, right? Like, if you're coaching college football, like, you're investing, you know, time and effort and energy away from your family and things like that. But even just simple things like, you know, raising money for the Marching Chiefs, like becoming a Bowden Society member, donating to, I haven't seen anywhere reported that he's donated to name, image, and likeness. I know there's some concerns around, you know, how coaches are allowed to or able to do that, but I know there have been discussions about that. And so he's invested more than just his time, effort, and energy. Like, he's invested his salary back into this program as well. And that's, I mean, I think that's encouraging to see. And I'm not saying, like, he's the only coach in the country that does that. I mean, Willie Taggart gave him, you know, or pledged $1 million. I don't know if we ever made good on that money or not, but he's not the only coach in the country to do that, but I do think it's impressive and kind of speaks to him and his love for Florida State and Tallahassee.
Yeah, and not that it's uncommon, but he's also, you know, is beautiful wife, Maria, and daughter, that they're very much invested in Florida State. You know, he parades them around all the time, and she's a great first lady of Florida State football, much like Ann Bowden was. So I think, you know, and we're both married, TJ, clearly, if your wife is happy with what you got going on somewhere, you're probably going to want to, you know, keep that going. I will give a shout out to Alabama Twitter, though, because I tweeted this, that I thought it was pretty clear that Norvell was probably the top choice. They came at me harder than Miami Twitter or Florida Twitter ever has. I think it was TC. Yeah, she's the one who quoted me. And man, my mentions were full. I had like 30 quotes on that one tweet. But yeah, Alabama Twitter goes hard. I'll give them credit. And they're very prideful that, you know, they want to believe they got their first choice. I think, you know, they could have hired Derek Dooley and they would have convinced themselves that that was their first choice.
We had a plan, Richie. We had a plan to bring Dooley in. What about the Lane Kiffin stuff that came out of it too?
I would have loved it. You know, obviously, a number one option is keeping Norvell, doing whatever you can to do that. You know, and this might be an unpopular opinion, I don't know if he leaves Ole Miss for Florida State, because I think he's a true like SEC guy. Like, he wants to be in the SEC. But I think it would have been I love that he was the first guy we were apparently going to target, because I think he's a phenomenal football coach. And I think, you know, he's learned from past mistakes, whether it be USC, Tennessee, even as Nick Saban's offensive coordinator at Alabama. I think Lane Kiffin's, you know, one of the five best coaches in college football, probably.
I'd have him lower than that, but I disagree with your whole thing there, but that's okay. That's why we're here. We haven't done that in a while. I think that he would have ultimately, you know, I think Florida State's a better job than Ole Miss.
Like, yeah, 100%, right? Like 100%.
And then also kind of with the thought, like, I think everybody else knows that Florida State's out of the ACC fairly soon too.
Yeah.
So I think that would have quenched some of the concerns there. What would have probably worried me the most is like how good Ole Miss is going to be just this year. I think they can actually make a run for it. Like, actually make a run for the SEC, a run for the national championship. Certainly think they'll be in the playoff unless they just have a meltdown. So, you know, would he give it up like this year with like all the promise that's around that program? Now, with the portal, all those good players could just follow him. Like, it's not like he couldn't just, you know, because Norvell would have taken some guys to Bama too. Like, you know, there's no doubt. Like, I doubt any of the Bama transfers stick. And so, you know, who knows like how that all ends up, but yeah, you'd have had some openings. Like, all right, so here's my hot take. People get mad at this, but you know, whatever. If you're mad, go buy something at Garnet Gold and use code NoSlaw for 15% off. I think if Lane Kiffin would have come in this year, I think Florida State would have been better for 1 year because of who he might have, like, if he brings in Jackson Dart, if he brings in Walter Nolan, if he brings in some of those wide receivers that they've got. I think Florida State would have a higher ceiling. Maybe that's the best way to say it. Like, if he brought in a bunch of transfers with him, not that I don't doubt our team now, I just don't know that Florida State is competing for a national championship this year. I think they can compete for the ACC and compete for the playoff. I think your ceiling raises. But I think Florida State's better long-term with Norvell. Better 1 year with Kiffin, better long-term with Norvell. Is that a hot take?
I think so, because you mentioned it earlier. How many players would have followed Norvell to Alabama? So, I mean, it's a give and take there. So, yeah, Kiffin could have brought some talented guys over, but there's several players on Florida State's roster. They love Coach Norvell. And I think they would have followed him. They said, yeah, I can go to Alabama and keep playing with Coach Norvell. You know, the school that's won 6 national titles since like 2012 or whatever it was.
Alabama probably has less spots though.
Yeah. That's true.
They probably have less spots. Like, they can't, like, he wouldn't be able to, like, take the cupboard bare, you know?
Yeah.
By any means.
It's just crazy time in college football that we even have to consider that. Like, the coach is going to go take a job and say, all right, it'd be like, you know, when Jimbo, remember when he went to Texas A&M and he only took, like, one assistant with him? You know, imagine being a player at Florida State and say he had taken the job at Alabama and you said, Coach, I'm going to come. And coach like, nah, stay at Florida State. Like, yeah. I'm going to take this guy with me, but yeah, I'll let you stay in Tallahassee. Just a crazy time in college football. But, you know, I think everything worked out well. I think Norvell is clearly in it for the long term. I'm just really excited about the program and the direction. And, you know, I'm excited to see how Kalen DeBoer does. I think he's a really good coach, but I think coaching at Alabama is a lot different than coaching at Washington. And, you know, Saban even said part of the reason he left is because of name, image, and likeness. And he just can't. He's like, I've won six national titles. I don't have time for all this. And I will say, Ole Miss, to your point, TJ, they're going to be really good this year. They have one of the strongest collectives in the country, along with the Battle's End. You know, they were very smart. They didn't really go all in on NIL last year, but I think they saw this year could be it. And they just went all in on their name, image, and likeness. And it paid off on paper. We'll see how the season goes.
Based on a conversation I had just the other day, the Grove Collective is the highest supported collective from a membership perspective, but I believe that the Battle's End is second. The numbers that I was told were like, I mean, the Battle's End was publishing this, so I don't mind saying it, but the numbers I was told was like 5,500 or so for the Battle's End and like 62 for the Ole Miss Collective. So top two in the country. I also think, you know, you mentioned that, and if you're not supporting the Battle's End, make sure you sign up at thebattlesend.com. Lane Kiffin kind of fits that mold, you know, offensive guy, willing to dip into the portal and stuff. He kind of does fit the mold of what Mike Norvell has set up too. So, all right, basketball beats Miami. We'll wrap up here in less than 5 minutes and get you guys out of here. Thanks for listening to a quicker show today. Basketball beats Miami. I think when basketball won, it took Florida State up to 10-0 against the Canes this year. 5-0 in basketball and football. Obviously, the two women's, the two men's. 2-0 in volleyball is 7. 8-0 in soccer is 8. I don't know where 9 and 10 are, but whatever. Just trust me. Maybe it wasn't 10-0, but it was pretty high. So good to beat Miami and sweep them again this year.
Such a shame for our good buddy Matthew Cleveland there. You know, the grass isn't always greener. I'm sure he got paid well. I tweeted this out. He wasn't missed in Tallahassee. You know, it's fine. You know, it's almost like these college athletes that are getting paid, you can't really treat them with the kid gloves anymore. So I'll put it out there. I think the team, I love this Florida State team. They're not super talented, but they play hard, man. They really do. It was awesome to see Darren Green Jr. go off for 8 threes in his final game in Tallahassee. You know, Florida State will play Virginia Tech on Wednesday to open the ACC tournament. They did get a bye with that win over Miami. And then if they win that game, they're going to have to take on North Carolina, which, you know, is a tall task. But they played North Carolina really well last month. You know, it's March. There's always hope. If you maybe you'll go on a Cinderella run and you can win the ACC tournament and get yourself in to the big dance. But probably not going to happen. But, you know, the team was not good this year. They were not good last year, but this year's team was much more watchable because they played hard almost every single game that I watched.
Yeah. I mean, I support all of our sports and, you know, I mentioned this, but took Elena and Bryant to beach volleyball and softball this weekend. And I'll watch absolutely everything. There were some times that, you know, last year that basketball was pretty unwatchable. Like it just wasn't enjoyable. I love Florida State and I love supporting and I believe in that, but I, you know, if you're down 20 and your effort is like at zero, like I'm turning it off. Like I just have better uses of time. Like I can't, that wasn't the case this year. So yeah, I agree with you completely on that. Women's shout out coach Wyckoff. The women won a couple of games in the NCAA tournament before running into the buzzsaw that is NC State. I think that has struggled with Notre Dame, even if they got past NC State. Softball, a little bit better week this week, and baseball still undefeated. UF tomorrow, so try and get to 15-0 and break the streak against the Gators. So, any shout outs or anything, Richie, before we get out of here? Oh, Coach Niles' birthday is today, so shout out to her too.
Happy birthday, Coach. Yeah, just shout out the Marching Chiefs. They are going to be in Dublin. You know, they had an aggressive fundraiser, and it paid off. You mentioned Michael Rowe contributed to it as well. So it's going to be awesome having the Chiefs in Dublin with us here in, you know, less than 6 months.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait to be over there. I don't have any shout outs. So yeah, mine was for Coach Brooke Niles of the beach volleyball team. Happy birthday. Oh, I actually did. I will say this. He's been a little more active on social media, but I did chat very quickly with Michael Alford, who told me he's recovering well and feeling great after after surgery on his neck. So shout out to him too. All right, that's all I got. Make sure you're subscribed here and over on YouTube. We'll do more content over there this week. Slow week. Just wanted to chat with you guys about a couple of things, but next week, spring camp gets underway. So spring football will be back and we'll talk about it all there. And thank you guys for tuning in.
Little teaser for Sunday. We're gonna talk some luck of the Noles.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. That'll be a fun one. So St. Patrick's Day coming on up. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.